It is time for another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. Last episode of July already. Last episode, I believe, without any sort of football going on, right? Training games start, I think, this week, right?
This week, because Sunday's the Hall of Fame game.
Is it really? Holy mackerel. Well, it's about time.
Yeah, because I think
football talk.
I think because I saw that tweet the other day. This Sunday is the last fun Sunday until, you know, mid-February where there's no football. So I'm pretty sure that means Hall of Fame game Sunday.
Yeah, it's usually on like a Thursday though, but it's Sunday makes sense, I guess. But
or what else would be on Sunday?
I don't know. It's got to be on Sunday. Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking it was on a Thursday, but maybe I'm just stupid, which is.
Well, I mean, we already know that.
Very good possibility. But
yeah, it's crazy that we're almost in August, but that's good news, I think, because it gives us more to talk about, and that means football is right around the corner.
Yeah. Did you guys get hammered by thunderstorms today?
You know, it's still raining here. It stormed, but I don't think it was awful.
Yeah.
I know where we're from, Rochester got hit pretty good.
Yeah.
But we might have, and maybe I'm just oblivious because I've been inside the whole time and I didn't notice anything, but like I didn't hear crazy wind or nothing. So.
The state of Wisconsin got nailed today. Multiple tornadoes, Appleton, Wisconsin. We got those storms here. It kind of missed my house, but at work I looked out about 12:30 today and I'm like, it looked like the dead of night. Like, I don't think I've ever seen it as dark. It was a dark green.
That's not good.
Which is always ominous. So we had tornado warnings. Power went out at work for a little bit, which is always kind of nice. But yeah, other than that, it's we finally got rain. I don't think it rained here since the 4th of July. So me being a middle-aged man, saying, well, we really needed that rain today.
Yeah, you know, Tan and J-Man Nation, it's becoming death taxes. Tan and J-Man discuss weather to open up the pot every week.
Every week.
Oh man, but I brought some birdie or bogey with me. I actually have two questions for you.
All right.
So you got two chances for birdies tonight, but you have two chances for bogeys.
Oh, so I could technically get a double bogey.
You could, but I honestly think you'll walk away tonight with two birdies.
Oh, shut up.
I do. So next week we're gonna start our college football previews with talking about some non-Power Four teams. So that got me thinking, and I like throwing Heisman Trophy trivia around. So I got two of them. First, who is the last Heisman Trophy winner to come from a active non-Power Four conference, as in today?
Keyword, active.
Second, who's the last Heisman Trophy winner to win the trophy at the time when their school was not a Power Four member? So basically that guy won it at the time when his school was not in the Power Four, but his school is now in the Power Four, if that makes sense.
What was the first question? Because that sounded similar to the first question too.
The first question is, who was the last person to win the Heisman Trophy from a school that is not present day part of the Power Four?
Not present day. Okay,
that's right. Present day. The second one, who was the last person to win the Heisman Trophy from a school where at the time when he won it, that school was not in the Power Four? That school is today, but at the time they were not. It's kind of tricky, but.
Does Notre Dame count?
Notre Dame, I should say, wrapped in with the Power Four.
Okay, that makes sense. Nice. Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
And also the Arlington Public House, right next door, who has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. Let's see what they had going on over the weekend. They had music bingo on Thursday. Hey, it's storming here now. I can hear the thunder. They had lemon gnocchi soup. You a fan of that?
I'm not a fan of gnocchi. No, my wife loves gnocchi.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'm
a lemon one, though.
Traditional pasta sort of person.
Three cheese truffle and a garlic and red onion cream sauce with lemon zest. And then let's see what Giretti's had going on. I'm using my phone instead of my computer because more and more when I'm using my other monitor, it slows down my internet. So let's see what they had going on. No new specials. Fried Caesar chicken sandwich, Southwest cream cheese wrap. But those were the weekend specials for July earlier this month that have been going through July. So be on the lookout for what they got for weekend specials starting this weekend since it will be August come Saturday.
Yeah. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Big sports story. I guess it was what, official Friday? We know where LeBron James is taking his talents.
LeBron James.
And it's not like it was in 2010 when he decided to take his talents to South Beach. He's taking his talents to Philadelphia.
It's weird.
Very weird.
It's weird. I know Philadelphia was like always mentioned. It was like Cleveland, Miami, Philadelphia. I just thought Philadelphia was going to be a distant third.
I did
obviously,
too.
He's from Ohio. He's from Akron. Played in Cleveland obviously for years, played Miami for a couple years, so I just thought those made sense. But Philadelphia, I don't really understand the fit, honestly. I said it on the show last week though that who's gonna shoot for them, because LeBron's not a great shooter, Jaylen Brown's not a great shooter, Joel Embiid plays 35 games a year maybe. Jaylen Brown didn't technically ask for a trade, but he wanted to be the number one dude, and now he's at best the third option, if not the fourth option, behind Maxey. There's not going to be enough balls to go around.
That's true. I would say as far as three-point shooting, while none of them are stellar, none of them are bad shooters either. They're just kind of...
They need to add like a Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick type to that team. Obviously, they're out of the league.
Who would that be?
Maybe make a trade for Duncan Robinson.
That's who came to my mind, too.
It is. that's the guy we're thinking, because there's got to be somebody better than him.
Everybody's yelling, listening to this. Idiots.
Max Strus, maybe a guy like them. But again, they're under contract with other teams. So
yeah. Where does this put Philly in your Eastern power rankings?
I mean, it's obviously they're going to be in the top three, I would say, obviously. I still don't know if they're any better than Miami with Giannis and Bam.
So Miami has no depth. That's the problem.
Actually, last week I was talking about LeBron in Miami with the shooting aspect, because Giannis can't shoot, Bam can't shoot, LeBron's not great. So that was one thing.
You're right.
Detroit will be good again. I don't know if they'll be number one seed good. Cleveland will be good.
Yeah, I don't trust them though.
I think the East is weak. They're below the Knicks. The Knicks just won a NBA title and they get everyone coming back. So I would say they're probably slot right between maybe the Knicks and the Celtics and the Heat. Right there.
Yeah, I think they're better than Boston.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Boston's taking a step back this offseason. I'm intrigued by the Pacers. I'm not saying they should be in that conversation with a lot of those other teams we just mentioned, but Halliburton does come back.
Yeah, he's back.
He didn't make a lot of noise in the offseason, but like,
they
I don't
never
know.
Do, really.
I mean, 2 years ago, they were in the finals, game seven. So, yeah.
Siakam's still there, too, I believe.
Yep, he is.
I think last year just kind of proved that Halliburton might be the MVP of the league leading to the finals. And then they, one of the worst teams in the league, and they got screwed out of the lottery.
Yeah. But what I hear you saying is Philly will not only be a playoff contender, but they're going to be in the mix to win the East.
Yeah. They're going to be in the mix. I mean, the Knicks are very good, but again, they were the three seed this past year? And they got to the – and they end up winning the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. So they got hot at the right time.
Yeah.
But I still view the East as wide
open.
I think it was smart if LeBron wants another championship opportunity to get out of the West. Because the West is loaded and going to be loaded for a long time.
Did it surprise you that he took the vet minimum of 2 years, $8 million?
He's made enough money.
Yes.
He obviously wants to go win a title if he has taken that minimum. Minimum.
I mean, he wouldn't do. He never wanted to do that for the Lakers, though.
And no, if he didn't.
they could really, I mean, they already got some good pieces. They could really build something there, but.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good team around him, regardless of him not doing that. But now that he's, you know, 41, 42 years old, whatever he is, he'll he's made enough money in his lifetime. I'm sure he is a billionaire net worth wise.
Let's look up what his net worth is.
They say those net worth things aren't accurate.
Well, what are you at?
I'm going to say he's worth $1.2 billion. That's my guess. I mean, with all the endorsements and commercials.
$1.4.
Man, that was a good guess.
Making him the first active NBA player to reach billionaire status.
Jordan's a billionaire, I'd imagine.
He's made over $580 million just from his playing. But it's off the court earnings.
Well, have you seen all these players go on podcasts and say $5 million doesn't get you that much? Once you buy a car, you buy a house, you got to pay your agent.
We all get taxed, you idiot.
Shut up.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
No, it's pathetic.
Be smart with your money.
Exactly. You don't have to buy your mom. You don't have to buy your parents a house. You don't have to do any of that stuff.
Pay their house off for them. Exactly. The ones they currently live in, if it's not paid off anymore. Give them a car.
You don't need to. I mean, yeah, you see that a lot in the NBA.
Yes,
guys running out of money. You said I remember that one. Was it a 30 for 30 about all the NBA and NFL players that had to file bankruptcy? Yeah. I think there was a 30 for 30 on that. That it's wild because they don't really teach financial literacy or anything like that. I think they're starting to now because they realize, hey, these guys are going broke quick. Yeah. They're spending all their money.
Yeah, well, especially with the NIL, they do
have to. Yeah,
even though I still think we're going to see a 30 for 30 on this era someday.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I was surprised. I think you might have been the one to send it to our group that LeBron was going to Philly.
Yeah, I was surprised to be the first to see and send it. And I was I was kind of like Adam Schefter a little bit, trying to be the first one to send it in there.
I was surprised, but it'll be interesting to see how he does. But it'll be weird. I mean, you know, do you think if Jordan played in this era, do you think he's a Bull his whole career? Or do you think no, multi-team guy?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
I know that's hard.
I mean, we're seeing it less and less. Obviously, guys sticking around. Kobe stuck around, which I remember back in like 2007, 2008, there were rumors he was going to, you know, he even said it out loud that he's requesting a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously didn't come to fruition. But, I mean, he retired twice, so maybe that counts as obviously he didn't play with another team until he went to the Wizards. But,
which is still weird.
Well, in today's era, I don't think Reinsdorf would have paid him. So I would say he'd absolutely be on a different team. In his that aspect.
I think with how good he was and everything, yeah, I think he would have went elsewhere. Maybe he, in this era, he gets bored of when all those championships
absolutely
challenge. I don't know. No way to Scotty stay with the Bulls and Laws.
Absolutely not. He would have been gone for sure. He would have been gone probably after that first contract, maybe second contract.
Yeah. Who was Dirk the last great in the NBA to play for one team the whole time?
How close were Duncan and Dirk to retiring at the same time? Weren't they right around the same time? Or Dirk last a year or two?
I think Dirk was a little beyond Duncan.
Was he?
Once again, I forgot about Tim Duncan.
Big fundamental. He's easy to forget.
And Steph Curry, assuming he doesn't play anywhere else.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Will be. But, man, that is getting more rare and rare in all sports.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Tom Brady going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was a thing. Obviously, you saw Favre was kind of the first legend to kind of bounce to different teams that I can remember. Peyton, obviously, those were different circumstances going to Denver.
Yeah, he doesn't leave if it was up to him.
For sure. Yeah, I think he would have stayed there his entire career. But, I mean,
even Philip Rivers, even though I hate the guy, he leaves at the end of his career. He's not on the level of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, obviously, Rodgers left. He kind of pushed himself out.
Yeah.
But, like, Elway and Marino, they stuck it out when they had probably opportunities to go elsewhere.
Oh, Dan Reeves tried to trade Elway to the Redskins.
That I remember right before Marino retired, there are always rumors that Minnesota Vikings were interested in Marino. And luckily, he hung it up instead of going, because that would have been weird.
That would have been really weird.
But, Yeah, I think we're just kind of done. I think Mike in baseball, I think Mike Trout will hang out with the Angels the rest of his career. I mean, if he was going to, I know, ask for a trade or anything, he would have done it a long time ago. He's having a pretty good year and healthy year.
Yeah. So. I think Aaron Judge is getting to the point where he's not complaining.
Yeah. I think he'll stick around for a while. I mean, I think he signed through his age 40 season.
Yeah.
Though, and he's still productive when he's
healthy. So baseball, we see more. In NFL and really NFL, the only positions you see usually stay sometimes quarterback, but not too much anymore. Maybe offensive line.
Yeah, offensive linemen, I guess, stick around
but
a lot longer.
Maybe running backs because I don't know. I feel like because a team, once they get to like 30, a team starts their plan, and then they're like, oh, I still got another good year or two left, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they go to a division rival, and then they're a backup. And
yeah, exactly.
You look at Jamal Charles.
Melvin Gordon was one who –
Mr. Fumbles.
Yeah.
Good night. Then he went to the Ravens after the Broncos.
Dolphins had Arian Foster his final year, so that just kind of tells you.
He's
terrible.
But it's just wild, the landscape of sports, how things have changed the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, hate it.
Yep. Now in college sports, we got logos going on the jerseys.
Yeah. I think every single school is going to have a logo on the jersey. Maybe not this year, but it's coming.
Yeah. There's only 3 Big Ten schools right now, Illinois being the third.
Yeah, I just signed. Well, it was 5-year, I think, $30 million deal with I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm not going to try to pronounce the bank. Busy Bank.
Yeah,
Busy Bank. I would imagine it's a local establishment.
Sure. So. Well, it's got to be doing pretty well to do a deal like that.
Yeah, $30 million.
Of course, deal. Culver's in Wisconsin, and then I can't even remember the other one now off the top of my head. There's another one, but I don't remember who it is. Yeah, I've read where Purdue's had some talks with some companies, but nothing. They'll end up being like Beck's Hybrid or something agriculture.
I think they need a new AD in there to start doing that sort of stuff.
It's coming. I saw a report last week. They thought a new one might be announced this weekend, but I think they're going to hire with them. I think the deputy AD that used to be the AD at Winthrop will probably be the pick.
That's kind of boring.
It's very boring. I don't know. But the other candidates I've seen thrown out there are kind of boring too. Other schools. I don't know. I know nothing about that side. I just got to trust the board of trustees to make the right decision. And if they do go the deputy AD route, he is a lot younger than Mike Bobinski.
And I mean, he has, D1 experience as a head athletic director. So Illinois deputy AD, he, became the athletic director at Oklahoma back in January, and he saw a college baseball World Series national title in just 6 months. He saw another national title too. I forget which sport it was for Oklahoma, but like
Oklahoma won the baseball this year.
Yeah, they won the baseball. I don't know. That's pretty lucky. You get hired
pretty far in softball too, didn't it?
Maybe they made it in softball, or maybe they won it in softball too. But I don't know. There are like 2 national titles. I think he won, or at least he obviously won the baseball one. But like. Man, he didn't even make any of those hires, and he gets a ring.
Yeah, that's got to be nice. Let's see when this all falls. World Series.
Right, UCLA.
Ball. Texas.
Texas did, okay.
They defeated Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Jason Williams, White Chocolate's daughter, plays
for
Texas
Tech. Yeah, she did. She's pretty good.
Yeah, I was kind of following that.
Yeah, when they got into it with Florida, that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, he
said he'd never step foot on that
campus again.
he's an entertaining dude.
Yeah,
he is. For sure. That's for sure. Any other thoughts around – that was kind of rabbit hole there, but any other thoughts around LeBron or anything in NBA related?
I was going to say, what were we talking about?
Yeah.
No, I think from now until really the season starts, it's not a whole lot of NBA stuff. Not that we really talk NBA anyway.
No. You knew he was going to be the last domino to fall in free agency.
Drawing out as
he could.
Oh, yeah. He likes people to talk about him.
Sure.
But, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, me too.
It was nothing like the decision
his
decision to go back to Cleveland or even his decision to go to LA. It was more under the radar
I don't even remember the LA saga that much.
I don't really either, because I think it was right around, well, obviously it was right before COVID, I guess.
Yeah, it was 2019, but summer of, but
I obviously the decision was a huge deal.
Oh yeah. I remember watching that
live. I watched it live. Yeah.
I was working at Round Barn Golf Club at Mill Creek. And I took a break from whatever I was doing and went and watched TV for a minute or two. And I thought he was going back to Cleveland. So I was surprised. And then I mean, somebody that bought the Heat jersey. I had one of those LeBron Heat jerseys for a little while.
I think we have a video of me putting that on, and I was wearing it in one of our stupid videos we used to make. I mean, obviously his legacy is that of one of the greatest players ever, but if he would have stayed in Cleveland his entire career, I think his legacy would be even greater.
I agree. 100%. They would have won more than one title.
Yeah, I think we would be talking about him as probably the greatest player of all time if he would have stuck.
I mean, I remember when he got there as a youngster.
Yeah.
And they got swept by the Spurs, but I'm thinking, oh man, he's going to be back. They're going to win. And then he just couldn't quite get them over the hump.
Nah, his team around him stunk. Yeah. I mean, they had Big Z, Ilgauskas. He was pretty good. He was solid. Mo Williams was their point guard.
Booby Gibson.
I forgot about Daniel Booby Gibson. Varejao.
I was like, who's the guy with the up?
Yeah, Varejao. But other than that team stunk.
Yeah.
And that was probably what hurt his legacy a little bit. He had to surround himself with D Wade and Chris Bosh to finally do it. But
I remember our freshman year in college when the Heat went back to Cleveland. It was a national game. I remember watching LeBron was getting booed out of the building. It was a hostile environment. Cleveland was so bad, though. Miami drubbed them by 60 points. I remember that.
Yeah.
They were terrible. That Cleveland roster was the worst I'd ever seen that year. Because that was the year before they got Kyrie.
Yes. Yeah.
They were awful. But, yeah, good stuff. We want to get educated.
I do, always.
Some sporting events that have happened on July 27th. It would help if I had the tab open. All right. Let's see here. On this day, 1927, Mel Ott, at the age of 18, hit his first league home run. It was an inside the Parker.
That's pretty good. First big league homer.
On this day, 1946, Boston Red Sox, Rudy York hit two grand slams in one game and got 10 RBIs.
Wow. I remember Fernando Tatis Sr. He hit two grand slams in one inning.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that.
Yeah. Back in 2002, I want to say.
On this day, 1947, New York Yankees catcher Yogi Berra started a record 148-game errorless streak.
It's pretty good.
Not too bad. I wonder who has the longest current active errorless streak at catcher right now. I wonder what it is.
I'm sure it's something. I mean, I'm sure they've all this year had an error. I'll go look it up. Maybe ChatGPT will help me out a little bit. It never really does, but
once in a blue moon. Let's see. On this day, 1959, baseball's new Continental League was formally announced by attorney William Shea. Teams in Denver, Houston, Minneapolis, St. Paul, New York City, and Toronto are confirmed, with three more to be named later. So what was that? Like they were trying to rival Major League Baseball?
What was it?
The Continental League?
I don't remember. Maybe, but it obviously fizzled out pretty quick. It doesn't give any reliable up-to-date active leader, but the major league record for consecutive games without an error for a catcher is Mike Matheny. 252 straight games. That's insane.
I would have never guessed that.
No.
On this day, 1973, the 40th NFL Chicago All-Star game was held. Miami beat the All-Stars 14-3 in front of 54,103 people.
Wow. What a boring game.
14-3. I wonder who's on the All-Star team then.
I just want to give everyone a heads up. My wife is making bacon, so we'll see if I have to sprint out of here because the fire alarm's going off.
I'm just going to blame you for not cleaning the oven.
Yeah, you can blame me. That's all
right. On this day, 1983, Gaylord Perry joined Nolan Ryan and Steve Carlton to reach 3,500 career strikeouts, also winning his first game as a Kansas City Royal.
I don't know if we'll ever see 3,000 strikeouts again. Scherzer got there. I think Kershaw got there too, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure he did. But with the way baseball is, I don't think we'll see it.
On this day, 1984, and this is still weird to read, Montreal Expos first baseman Pete Rose collected his record 3,503rd career single, passing Ty Cobb with a hit off former Phillies teammate Steve Carlton.
Be interesting if he or Tony Gwynn would have lasted in this era of baseball. We have a guy, Luis Arraez, kind of like those guys. Very, very similar to those guys, I would say. And he's very good, but you have to be extraordinarily good, which those guys were.
On this day, 1988, baseball star Tommy John commits a record 3 errors on one play as the Yankees beat the Brewers 16-3.
That's bad. That's a bad play.
That's not good. On this day, 1989, Atlanta Brave Dale Murphy became the 10th player to achieve 6 RBIs in an inning.
His son played offensive line for the Dolphins for a handful of games.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
This is just a weird stat, but on this day, 1992, the Astros began a 26-game road trip to make room for the Republican National Convention.
That would have stunk. They plan a little better these days than
it's a whole month
back then. Yeah,
over a month probably. Crazy.
Jeez. Yeah. 26 game road trip. That's brutal.
On this day, 1993, NBC Television was awarded coverage of the 1996 Olympics for $456 million. Pocket change compared to what the rights are now.
The Olympics 2 years are in LA, right? 2028?
Yes.
I have no desire to go.
Nope.
In fact, there's no good place for softball, so they're literally playing softball in Oklahoma City, I think, for the Olympics. It's weird.
Come on, give me one more here. Come on. I was saying, 2019, the Phillies revived the relived 1979 all-burgundy alternate uniforms as part of a retro night promotion in a 15-7 loss to the Atlanta Braves.
Hmm. Interesting.
You see a lot of, like, during the Home Run Derby, you saw a lot of their old powder blue jerseys being worn
with
the burgundy logo, but those all-burgundy ones are pretty hideous. On this day in 2021, American gymnast and four-time Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles withdrew from the women's team final at the Tokyo Games, citing need to focus on her mental health, also missed individual finals. I do remember when that happened.
Her husband's still playing the NFL?
I want to say no, but he could be on a squad somewhere.
He was with the Packers, he was with the Bears for a little bit.
Because he was on Hard Knocks, of course.
Yeah, Jonathan Owens, I think his name was.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And on this day last year, the 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony took place for Dick Allen, Dave Parker, CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Billy Wagner.
I can't believe Billy Wagner's in the Hall of Fame. He was electric back in the day. In fact, they had the Hall of Fame yesterday. Jeff Kent got in, Andrew Jones. Yep. One other guy I can't remember got in. But I used to like to watch those. Now I don't care.
Yeah. I'll probably watch the NFL this year because I want to see Drew Brees' speech, but that's about it.
Oh, he got in. See, I didn't even know it was his year.
Yep.
That's how little I've
I don't remember who else got in. Vinatieri, I believe. Before I do the read, now I got to go look because if not, it's going to really bug me. It was a good class. Let's see.
They're all good classes, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're right, especially with the NFL. Breeze, Larry Fitzgerald, Luke Kuechly.
Kuechly did get Terry, in.
And Roger Craig.
Okay.
Yep. The five-member class.
Roger Craig, Quad City Zone.
Yep, he was the senior committee inductee. So, and that is going to do it for the On This Day segment this week, which is brought to you by, like as every week in 2026, by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing.
In fact, my aunt, I believe, graduated high school with Roger Craig.
There you go.
If somebody, hopefully my dad's watching and he can either confirm or tell me I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure.
I hope he tells you you're wrong.
He probably will. Just looking outside because it looks like a tornado is about to drop out of there. So I'm going to have to go sprint downstairs.
Got to get a smoke alarm going off of the bank.
I know.
Tornado's touching down. Heads are falling off.
House is on fire. Tornadoes. Running through. I'm ready for football season. We don't have to worry about that.
Me too, man. Me too. But we're in the midst of baseball season. Trade deadline's coming up. And I've heard like nothing.
Yeah. My mom just texted me. I can't confirm he graduated with my aunt. So.
All right. Good memory, J-Man.
Anyway, trade deadline. Yeah, there hasn't been a ton of rumors flying around yet. I mean, there's still so many teams that could buy. So it's kind of pushing it up. Deadline is a week from today, but you haven't really seen teams really pull away either. Besides the Dodgers, obviously, the Brewers are 7 games up. Dodgers are 12 up, and they're just probably going to go.
Let me give you some teams, and then you tell me if they should buy or sell or do nothing. I got to pull up the standings here. We'll start with the American League. The leaders right now by 3 games, the Rays. Should they try to go get somebody?
Yeah, they need some offense. Middle infield help for sure. Their pitching's good. Every team could use pitching, though. Every team's trying to acquire pitching. That's just kind of the name of the game when it comes to baseball at this time.
The New York Yankees, who right now are safely in the wild card, but the 3 games back from the Rays.
For sure buyers, obviously. Right now, I think I said it last week that I'd still probably pick them to win the American League.
You did.
Because the American League just stinks. It's just
not good.
Putrid. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 5 teams over 500.
Yep.
6 teams over 500. Nope, 5 teams.
The Boston Red Sox, who are now one of those teams, and they're sitting in the wild card.
They're the hottest team on planet Earth right now. I think they've won like 22 of their last 24, 25, something like that. They're 7.5 out of the division and have one of the wild cards or a game and a half up in the wild card. They're going to buy. I was talking to, again, our buddy Aaron Lynch a few days ago. They made a trade on, I think, Friday night. They traded one of their starters, who is on the injured list right now, but he's a young, controllable starter who's having a very good season, for Curtis Meade, third baseman for the Washington Nationals, who it's his first halfway decent season. He'd been DFA'd by a couple teams. It just makes me nervous. You're betting on one half season of good baseball that he's going to be this guy. So obviously they're buyers. They're currently buyers, but I think they'll be one of these teams. And I said this to Aaron as well, that buys at the deadline, but then kind of falls off. Because again, they had the worst record in the American League just 4 weeks ago. Yeah. So it wasn't that long ago that they were horrendous. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again. But ride it while you can.
Let's look at 3 teams in the Central. The White Sox, who are still leading the division. We're almost in August. The Guardians, who are 3rd team in the wild card, or the Twins, who are 1 game behind the Guardians.
It's pathetic that the Guardians would be in the playoffs now at 54-53.
Yep.
White Sox, Guardians, bye. I don't think either team really views themselves as a threat to win the American League. So I think they'll kind of play it safe while trying to improve their team, which the White Sox, it's already been announced kind of that they don't want to trade it. any player that's in like their top 10 prospects.
Now, if I would have told you back in March, April, at the start of the season, that we'd be sitting here on July 27th talking about the White Sox being buyers.
It's shocked. Yeah, absolutely. Shocking. Minnesota, sell. It's incredible that they've been able to hang in for as long as they have for 107 games now. I would say even though they're 2.5 games up on the Tigers did just lose 2-3 to the Royals at home over the weekend, which is not ideal. I would say the Tigers are more likely to be buyers than the Twins are.
I do want to go back to the AL East because there's one team that's kind of catching my eye. How about the Orioles?
Yeah, they're hanging in there. They did win like 6 in a row, and then I think they lost 2 of 3 or 3 of 4 to Boston last week. Sell, I would say. I don't. If you're at that stage and you're out of it, you're not going to win the American League. Sell. Good point. That's my thinking on it for sure.
In the AL West, the Rangers, the Mariners, and the Astros.
If the Astros are smart, I think they'd sell. And I think they are going to, honestly. Mariners have been one of the more disappointing teams in baseball this year, 52-54. Rangers, they're old, but they're obviously winning that division. The Central and the West. The West is worse than the Central, but both are just bad.
I know. It's kind of sad. You look at it, and I know 6 teams get in, so technically 6 teams have a chance to win.
Yeah.
But I'm looking, I'm like, I think it's between the Rays and the Yankees.
Yeah, and I think the Yankees are in a full season, even a 5-game set, 7-game set, I think the Yankees are a better team. But again, baseball is such a crapshoot unless you're the Dodgers. No. You can get hot for, have good pitching for 3 or 4 games and you win that series. So anything can happen.
Speaking of the Dodgers, they're 67-39. So I'm guessing if they need anything, they're
going to get it. Pitching. I mean, every team needs pitching because you have injuries. They've been mentioned with potentially trading for Tariq Skubal, Rich Get Richer. And I'm sure they'll do something spectacular for sure. And it's annoying.
How about the Brew Crew?
Obvious buyers. Again, they'll be mentioned with Skubal, which add him to their incredible pitching staff. It'd be insane. But yeah, Brewers and Dodgers definitely have farm systems that can piece together packages for him.
The Braves.
For sure. They have Austin Riley at third base, and he's an expensive guy, but he's been very bad. So they could really use really left side of the infield there. And again, pitching. I'm just pitching for everyone, so I'm not going to say pitching anymore.
Are you sure you're not going to say it with the Chicago Cubs?
Pitching. Pitching. Cubs, yeah, they – they're 59-46. They're in a very good spot when it comes.
You would have taken that right before the season right now.
I guess. I mean, if the Brewers weren't, whatever they are, 66-39, sure. But I can't really complain. I mean, what are they? They are 4.5 up in a wild card spot. They're in good shape. They made a move today that shows they're not messing around. They designated Jameson Taillon for assignment. So he is essentially released. He is a very well respected, very good dude in that clubhouse. And they caught him today because he was ineffective. He was pretty bad early in the season. They put him on the injured list for a month with a hamstring strain. Made 2 starts coming back from the injured list. Got absolutely murdered against the Tigers last week and then got murdered yesterday where he gave up 7 runs in 4 innings. So they're not messing around. They cut him last year of his deal. I feel bad for the guy, but it was a necessary move because they need starting pitching help. Matt Boyd and Shota Imanaga have been fantastic the past few weeks, really keeping them afloat there. But Colin Ray, I've tweeted it every single time, like for the past couple weeks. If he's still in this rotation in 3 weeks, something went terribly wrong. Last week I said 2 weeks. This week when he pitches and he gets shelled by the Cardinals, I'm going to say if he's in the rotation this time next week, Jed should be fired. But obviously,
saving your drafts, don't you? And you just copy
and paste. Yeah, just copy and paste. Yeah. pitching need bullpen. They need back end bullpen help. Does seem like they're going to get some guys coming back from injury, which will help as well. Offensively, I think they're pretty much set. Maybe they could use a designated hitter, but it's not a pressing need. They're getting good contributions from about everyone in the lineup. these days, including Pete Crow Armstrong, who has been, if the season ended today, I think he would be the most valuable player in the National League, especially with Shohei Ohtani and no longer pitching for the foreseeable future. Pete's just been absurd offensively. Obviously, he's all world defensively, so he's been kind of carrying them. And if you take him off this team might be 13 games under 500. So, but other than that, Phillies are obvious buyers. Marlins, remember right before the All-Star break, we're like, man, they're 10 games over. Yeah. They're looking pretty good. They've lost 12 in a row. They're now 2 games under 500. I think they're for sure sellers. Nationals, though, 2 games over 500, only three games back of the Phillies. There have been rumors that they could shop James Wood and C.J. Abrams. I think it'd be horrific because those are two of the best offensive players in the league, and they're both 25 years and younger. I think that would just be so stupid. You look at that Juan Soto trade with the Padres. Padres traded James Wood and C.J. Abrams to the Nationals for Juan Soto and Mackenzie Gore as well. Mackenzie Gore is now with the Texas Rangers, but James Wood has the best OPS in all of baseball, or at least the National League. Juan Soto is second, and C.J. Abrams is third. So that's just how crazy that trade was, that you have three of the top offensive players in the league involved in one trade. Pirates, they need to buy, but it sounds like they're not going to do anything. They're going to stand pat, which I think would be just so stupid.
Probably cast on a playoff.
Their ownership group is pathetic. They don't spend money. You have stud pitchers. Your offense is leading the league. And runs scored, at least I think they're second now. Cubs shut them down Friday and Saturday, which was nice. And they teed off on Paul Skeens, which they've been doing. Cubs are kind of the one team. Cubs have faced Skeens more than I think any team in baseball. I think they faced them 8 times already in the 3 years he's been in the league. And they've found a way to be able to grind him down a little bit, get him out in the fifth, early sixth inning. And, so they've kind of had his number here, at least this year. Cardinals have kind of fallen back like I think I predicted they would. Big week for them this week, though. I mean, they have a 4-game set hosting the Cubs tonight, so they really need to win at least 3 of these this weekend in order to kind of stand in there. But on paper, they're not that great, so they should probably sell. Reds are going to sell, but their probably best trade chip currently offensively is Spencer Steer, and he hurt his wrist yesterday and will be out maybe for the rest of the season. So they're not going to be able to trade him. But Arizona Diamondbacks should absolutely buy because they have that final wild card spot. But sounds like they might try to trade their second best player, Ketel Marte, because he is kind of a cancer, it sounds like, in the clubhouse. But
Also, speaking of baseball, you sent this to our group chat today.
There's
a thread on X. A guy named Paul Matthew Anderson asked Jeff Passan, how do you think the potential for a lockout affects the dealing? Will it be way down given the uncertainty next season? He responded, great question. It's absolutely affecting some teams' approaches. There are owners that believe there won't be a single game next season, so they're telling their GMs to price that into their trade deliberations. Will it have a significant effect? I won't go that far, but does that possibility exist? Absolutely.
It made me mad when I read it that there are owners that think there's going to be 0 games because that could do incredible damage to the sport.
Oh, big time. Take a whole year off.
Take a whole season off. It's going to be a very public, ugly feud, too.
I mean, what would we bickering do?
All off. Exactly. There's going to be nothing. We're going to be back to COVID days in the summer if that's the case. Both sides have way too much to lose for it to actually happen. So I'm still holding out hope. I think they'd be stupid to cancel games as well, but they have been very far apart. Obviously there needs to be some changing within the collective bargaining agreement to level the playing field a little bit more, but they are very, very far apart right now. I haven't even seen like a proposal go out in a few weeks, which is probably not a great sign. if anything, I think teams should make more moves because of that, especially for younger controllable guys, because you might be able to get grandfathered in the new agreement to assuming there's going to be a salary cap and stuff like that, or even a salary floor, which I think both are very possible. It's frustrating to even read that there are some that there could have an entire season banged next year.
Yeah. I, I just can't imagine it, but
I can't either.
The only league we've seen it in our lifetimes, NHL.
They had no, they did a whole season where they didn't play
I'm
at all.
I'm pretty sure like the 05 season didn't happen.
Really?
Or 06 or something. And then there's another one that started real late.
Well, obviously baseball 94 was the bad right. one there, but they still played some games.
Yeah, don't bring that up to Expo fans 94 because they think that was their year.
Yep, that was it. But it's just it's sad to see, and hopefully they'll both kind of come to because they'll lose a lot of money. Yep. Every single one of them.
I do want to remind you have not made a book it, and
I actually this is going to actually because we're talking trade deadline. This is going to lead me into our blind ranking.
All right.
I have five historic trades that have happened at the trade deadline.
Ooh.
I want you to, I don't know how I want you to rank them. How surprised you were. One, I think we were too young to really understand what happened. Cause I don't really remember when it happened. I just remember hearing stories of it and it was in 98 and that's the first one actually, Randy Johnson to the Astros.
Yeah. I don't remember it happening at all. I remember learning back, I mean, the first team I remember him playing for was Diamondbacks.
Yeah, me too.
And then I learned he was on the Mariners. And then I think it was even like a year later, I learned, wait a second. I saw a picture of him on the Astros. You know, I'm like, he was an Astros?
Yeah, half season.
And then, you know, I had to go back on the baseball card, the back of the baseball card, and like, oh, he did play at Houston. But so just because I don't remember it, I'm putting at five.
Yeah.
But obviously, it was a very, very big deal. And, of course, I didn't know he played on the Expos either till I was – older.
The reason why I brought that one up is because I remember hearing stories from Cubs fans that were around back then that the rumors all up leading up to the trade deadline, Cubs are going to go hard after Randy Johnson. It's going to be the Cubs. Mike Piazza as well. I think that was 97.
Wow.
And Cubs are going to get Randy Johnson. Like those.
Is that when Piazza was a Marlin for half a year?
For like, he was a Marlin for a week maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, because he went Dodgers, and then he was a Marlin for like a week or two, and then he was traded to the Mets, I think same year. But yeah, going to get Randy Johnson. I think Cubs end up with Felix Heredia and Matt Karchner. I think that was it.
The way you said that guy's name.
So, and they traded John Garland for Matt Karchner. John Garland, I remember he was a White Sox. Yeah, he had a much better career than any of those guys. So it was disappointing, which was typical of the Cubs back then. All right, second one here, we have CC Sabathia to the Milwaukee Brewers in 2008.
Yeah, I remember this being a pretty big deal.
Huge.
Been traded from the, at the time, the Indians to the Brewers. Put this at three.
Yeah, this was one. He was awesome. Like he went like 10-1 with an ERA under two for the Brewers. So it was huge for them. And I think they still got swept in the playoffs, though. So.
Yeah.
Also 2008, Manny Ramirez to the LA Dodgers.
Yep. I forgot about that one, to be honest. But I remember just how weird it was to see him in a uniform that was not the Red Sox, even though when we both were getting old enough to get into baseball, he was an Indian. But, of course, the Red Sox is where he made real name for himself, legendary status. But, yeah, he wore 99, I believe.
Yeah.
For the Dodgers, it was weird.
Hit like 370 in the half season he was there.
Yep. I'll put this at four, though, because I just remember the CC one more than I did Manny one. So.
Dodgers went to the NLCS that year and lost to the Phillies because Dodgers swept the 97 win, back number when they one seed Cubs. Yeah, you could feel I remember watching those teams. They win 97 games, were the number one seed for the first time in like ever. And the game starts and you're like, you can just see how nervous they were.
I remember you were miserable in quiet class. That was
horrible.
Yeah,
absolutely horrible. I have two more. I have two Cubs trades on the list.
And they're going to be one and two. So
yeah. Nomar to the Cubs.
I remember this. I'm putting this at one, because I remember kids in our grade getting jerseys.
I had one. Yeah.
It was a big deal. He was still prime Nomar at the time, you know, Jeter, Rodriguez, Nomar, all those arguments, like who's the best shortstop. And then what he played, did he even play another year for the Cubs, or was that just half a year's deal?
So, no, he played the next year and tore his groin in April, and that was pretty much it.
His career was pretty, because he went to Oakland after that.
Right? He went to LA as well and had some success there. But yeah, when the Cubs traded for him, I remember I was in Florida and I was like running around our little hotel room screaming because I was so excited. I was actually listening to Theo Epstein was on the Lovable Reunion podcast with Rizzo and David Ross, and he was talking about that trade a little bit when he traded Nomar to the Cubs, because he was talking like, our defense was terrible. That was our one thing. Our offense was great. Our pitching staff was good. Our defense was not very good. And so a big part of the reason why I traded Nomar, which again, fan favorite, he did the whole thing with his, you know, his batting gloves and everything. Everyone tried to emulate him. Stud hitter. He wasn't a great shortstop. So they went out and got Orlando Cabrera, which completely changed their defense. They ended up obviously winning the World Series that year. But that was
yeah, I'm sure that was a gut punch to Nomar.
Oh, I'm sure. Go to that. Yeah, the Cubs, who they had a 2.5 game lead in the final week of the year, and they ended up missing the playoffs.
And Boston wins it.
Horrible, and Boston wins
it. In the fashion they did it, too.
Yeah. Last one here is Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs.
Yeah, I got to put this at number two. Of course, he was a Yankee and goes to the Cubs. And
goes back.
And, yep, and then went back. And the Yankees got, oh, my gosh. Why?
Torres.
Yeah. Yep. It was a good trade for both at the time, but obviously got the Cubs over the hump in the long run, which they needed. Definitely. I still am surprised the dude's still pitching in the league today.
And still and having success.
And doing well. I thought his arm would fall off by now.
Still throwing pretty hard. Also on that podcast, I was hearing, obviously, they asked him about that trade, Theo, about that trade. And on paper, it was a horrible trade. Like, I was kind of upset about it at the time because I'm like, man, Gleyber Torres is a top 10 prospect in baseball. He traded a couple other really good prospects. I want, like, a young, controllable starter. And he was talking about it, said, yeah, on paper, it was horrible, and I was getting torched by the media and even the fans. But I had a quote, and I was just saying, like, if not now, then when? You know, sort of deal. And they end up winning the World Series, and they don't win a World Series without Aroldis Chapman that year. So even though obviously he's known for giving up the homer to Rajay Davis, they don't even get there without him.
Yep. Yeah, that's interesting to hear stories like that of GMs in different sports.
Yeah.
You know, I know I watched a documentary on – who was it? Gosh, what team was it? Oh, where the Sonics had to deal to send Sean Kemp to the Bulls for Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
And then it got leaked, and then it didn't go through. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Yeah. So do on this podcast, do they have different guests on every week?
Yeah, they've I think they're done now. Because they haven't had one in a few weeks. But yeah, they started with the first episode was just Ross and Rizzo. Then they had John Lester on. Then they had Lackey and Arrieta on. Then Addison Russell, Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, Ben Zobrist, Tom Ricketts was on their podcast.
So it was just a podcast. It was just for a third time.
It was the 10-year reunion. I think leading up to the.
Gotcha.
They had the 10-year reunion last week.
Gotcha.
Last weekend or.
Yep.
Was that last week or two? 2 weeks ago. No, last weekend. So I've listened to it on my way to work every Wednesday when it come out. So it was kind of fun to hear some stories.
Well, and David Ross can still rake, man. He got a single in the Savannah.
Desecrated Wrigley Field with the fake baseball. I don't like it. I don't like it.
People love it.
They do. It's like
very little, but people love it.
I'm trying to think. It's kind of like Top Golf for real golf fans.
That's a very good comparison. In a way.
Yeah. Not a great comparison, but I can see the parallels too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that good blind rankings list that took me down memory lane and a few trades I kind of forgot about. But that is the blind ranking segment brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picking, or sales meeting in 2026 or 2027, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
This will be the J-Man's Bucket Prediction of the Week. The Cubs, by this time next week, will have made a trade for a starting pitcher that I will be excited about.
I was going to say, will J-Man like it? That's the
we will see. And I will be very honest in my assessment if they do make a trade for a starter and I do not like it, even if it makes me miss my
I will get the screenshots.
There you go. But J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it.
All right, we got a few minutes left. Do you want me to go ahead and give you the birdie or bogey again, or do you have anything else
you
want to discuss real quick?
Cubs have a big week this week. They have 17 games in a row because they have a makeup game with the Blue Jays next week. But four in St. Louis, huge. Then three with the Yankees over the weekend in Wrigley. So that'll be a fun one to watch. And I'm very glad Jameson Taillon is not making that scheduled start now. yeah, big week for them. Hopefully they can just kind of stay afloat up until hopefully reinforcements come Monday. But
And I know we announced this last week, but I'll do a rundown of our schedule in August real quick yet again. Next week, we start our college football preview, or at least part of the show will be the preview. We're going to talk non-Power 4 teams we think got a chance to make the college football playoff. August 10th, we have the Big 12. August 17th, SEC. August 24th, the ACC and Notre Dame. And August 31st, the Big 10, which will lead us into week one of college football, because week zero is TCU and somebody play in Ireland on the 29th.
North Carolina football.
Yep. North Carolina and TCU.
That's who they play. They're in some kind of hot water. They fired their general manager, Mike Lombardi, today. And they're being investigated by, I think, the Gaming Commission, which is not.
Billy boy.
Yeah, I think that's not good at all.
So. No. Well, back to birdie or bogey. We'll start with the first question. Who was the last Heisman Trophy winner to win at a school that is actively not a Power Four conference school?
I don't even have a guess. The only guy I've thought of that has won it that was with a school that was not in the Power Four is Andre Ware. So that's going to be my guess for both. And I think they're probably both wrong.
Well, Houston's part of the Big 12 now.
Yes, but they weren't at the time he won it. So that was one of my guesses for the other one.
You're close. Andre Ware won it in 1989. There was a guy that won it in 1990 that his school was not part of the Power Four at the time. They're part of the WAC, and now they are in the Power Four.
Oh, was it a Detmer?
Yep, Ty Boy? Detmer.
Ty, okay.
At BYU. That was the second question. Yeah. Back to the first one.
I don't even have a guess. I literally do not even have a guess for you. I can't even think of anyone.
Think of non-Power Four schools right now. Think of a school that was good back in the day.
That is not in the Power Four?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone from Boise State won it. Anyone from Navy win it? Army? Staubach?
Roger Staubach, 1963.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Thanks for the hint. I'll take the hint.
You're welcome. So you went even. One birdie, one bogey. You went even, so you pretty much got a par. So
Yeah.
Staubach is the last active non-Power Four.
That's great. That had to be what, early 60s maybe?
63.
Wow.
Yeah. Back then, there was tons of like Navy, Army, tons of non-Power Fours.
Yeah.
But ever since then, Andre Ware, 1989, Deppner, 90.
I was close.
All Power Four, even back then, Power Four schools.
Crap. The only reason why I thought of Andre Ware is because of him being on TV. Yeah. He was on ESPN.
He would have been my guess. I wouldn't have thought of Ty Detmer. So he would.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of Detmer. I obviously didn't think of Detmer. Yeah. Until
they were part of the WAC, and then the Mountain West, now the Big 12. Yeah. And they were independent for a year or two.
Man, that was so close.
Yep.
Thanks for watching. I needed that, too, just to get back in it, because I'm still three strokes behind. Anyway, thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at it with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.